from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
As for the fans, you always made it clear how you felt. You carried me my entire career, but you have taken it to a whole new level, and I have felt every one of your posts on social media and in person by your comments. You are my friends as well, and now you have carried me through months of chemo and radiation. I'll never be able to thank you properly.
Ryan Sandberg yesterday having delivered a speech on the stage there on the dais, on the dais, on the dais. On the dais, at the ceremony at 3 p.m. yesterday afternoon, the exact moment, Marshall Harris, when you were at the Sky and the Fever, wasn't it?
I had to make a choice.
Yeah, you did.
And don't get me wrong, I grew up Ryan Sandberg, Sean Dunstan, and them. Mm-hmm. That was my afternoon after the leadoff man. Look, don't threaten me with a good time of a Cubs Braves Superstation doubleheader. Like, that's my summer in childhood. Like,
yeah.
So it was
a
tough
of
decision,
people.
But I was entertaining people. So I was like,
I get it.
I could see it through the miracle.
It was pretty damn cool Chicago sports Sunday.
Yeah.
To have stuff like that. I did hit and run yesterday morning. Bob Costas made one of his 6 appearances on The Score and our affiliated programs, and was terrific yesterday morning on hit and run. Really enjoyed talking to Bob. And then decided I had to go over, you know, so I went over there, and it's interesting. Like, they gave media wristbands if you wanted to go and sit in the back of the little seated area there in front to watch the thing. But I decided I didn't want to get down there and get into the mix. I just thought I would stand above because I was in the ballpark already. Right. So went over there on the left side above Gallagher Way on that plank. I think they call it the plank right there.
Okay.
At the top of the 200 section. And I'm standing there, and it was pretty cool because all of the stadium employees that were working and were waiting for the ball game to begin, I don't know whether they were given the opportunity to come in early and get ready or what, but they were all lined up to watch this thing from up there. It was pretty cool. I tweeted some pictures from the Parkins and Spiegel account. So you had hundreds of stadium employees lining up against every one of the railings there, looking down on this giant crowd, and, you know, there for Sandberg Day. And you didn't have to pay for that part of it. It was at Gallagher Way. Huge crowd there extending into the street. Crowd on the second level of the Brick House Tavern
right
there.
Yeah.
Crowd on the connected second level from the Cubs office building. Crowd up on the 6th level outside of the Cubs office building. Crowd on every balcony at the Hotel Zachary across the street. Clearly some Cub fans who got themselves hotel rooms.
So this is like fireworks level. I got to find a spot to be able to watch this thing.
Yes. I don't think the street traffic was completely shut down, but there were definitely people extending into Clark Street there. So it was packed and very, very cool to see all of those people out there. And I thought it was excellent that all the Cubs employees were lined up there to check it out.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, you have the built-in audience. Why would you not make it as big as possible if you're the Cubs as an organization? I understand all that. What was your overall impression of the statue itself and just the way they presented it?
I thought the statue was excellent. I like that it's defense. I like that the flip-top sunglasses are there. The reason I knew it was going to be like that is because when we asked him exactly that at Harry Carey's last year and said, you know, what's the statue going to be? Have you thought about defense? Because I'm picturing you. I had those baseball cards of you, you know, crouching with the glove and the flip-top glasses, and his face kind of lit up a little bit.
So you could see right there. You felt like you had something.
I said, oh, that's it right there. So I've been holding on to that, and there it was. He's muscular. He's awfully muscular in that. I don't recall him being that muscular. Did he look a little thicker with the statue than perhaps he did in real life? Is that possible? Anybody see his veins? The veins on his arms on that statue?
I don't recall. It's been several years since I've seen Ryan Sandberg play baseball.
Yeah.
But that,
I mean, I'm sure they used a couple of pictures. I'm right. Sure maybe his veins did stick out that much. It was just like, wow.
Plus, dude, a little thick in a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
In the summer heat, you know, you lose a little bit of the water and all of a sudden you're a little
maybe
more toned.
Maybe so.
I can see that.
But another item from just to paint the picture from where I was up there on the plank. I'm like, there was just a little space there where there was a marquee camera up there. And then there was just some space. So I used the press pass, just kind of like worked my way over there. So I was in a little bit of a space, and then I'm standing there, and then here come the players and all the coaches. The entire team comes walking up the staircase, and they're going to inhabit this area where I was. So I backed up, got out of the way, kind of stood behind the camera and the cameraman, Scott, who's a good dude from Marquee. But I was like right there watching the players. It was really cool to see. And again, I tweeted a picture of that from the Parkinson Spiegel account. Really cool to see all the players there. And I'm told that Craig Counsell said, why don't we go watch this, guys? Get a sense for your organization's history. And to see what it's
smart
like
move.
To see somebody get honored like this. Know what you're dreaming of and you're aiming for as a ball player.
Yeah, certainly so, what the capabilities are. Like if you can reach this level of success, this is what lies in store for you.
Yeah. So it was really cool to be standing there and watching them all interact. And then I'm seeing them, and you know, some of the players have their phones and stuff like that. They're leaning on the railing there at the top of the 200 level above Gallagher. And I see Jameson Taillon. He's all the way to the left. He's the closest player to me. And I see him there. He's leaning on the railing. And then I see him lurch forward and look down in a panic. I'm like, what's going on? And I see him turn around and say something to another player. And then the player, Ben Brown, starts to laugh and starts to smile a little bit. And then I see them call over the security guard. Jameson Taillon dropped his phone. Dropped his
phone. How many feet are we thinking this is?
What's that?
How far of a drop is that? How many stories up?
40 feet? Something
yeah,
like that?
Definitely, unless he got the OtterBox on.
No, so the phone, and I see like the security guy catches wind of it. He runs down there. There's clearly a minute and a half or so of terror and like players like making fun of him, but hoping for the best and all that. Security guard comes back, hands him the phone. All is well.
And it's working.
Phone is working like a champ. Everything's fine. Good OtterBox is probably true.
Yeah, like you need casing.
And so I need a ruling on this. I need a ruling with the flowing robes as she walks in to deliver a ruling. Anita herself with the grace, the flowing robes. I said, Jameson, you're lucky, man. And he smiled. He laughed. I said, I'm not going to tell anybody about that. He laughed. And now here I am.
Why'd you even tell me you weren't telling anybody?
I don't know. See, that's the part I shouldn't have said.
Come on, man.
So bad guy move or not?
That's a bad guy move.
Is that a bad guy move?
You can't say that. Like, you could have just saw it and move. Said something, but now you said you told him you weren't going to say anything?
I told him I wasn't going to say anything.
He asked us during the break, you know, we'll take you behind the curtain here. He said,
yes.
Hey, should I say this? And we said, no.
That's not true. Shane nodded his head.
You know who the one that you should be listening to around here.
Come I know, you
now.
Are the adult. But yet, Shane, I asked you, I told Jameson I wasn't going to say anything. Should I say it? And you nodded your head massively.
Can you hear me speak?
Yes.
Oh, wow. A little microphone in the back of the room.
It works. It works like a champ.
Yeah, I feel part of the show again.
Nice.
I think you, that's not embarrassing. Everyone drops their phone.
Everyone does.
That's okay.
Yeah, we've
but
all done that.
You didn't have to tell him in the moment, hey, Jameson,
that's
I'm
what
not
I'm
gonna
saying,
tell anyone.
Shane.
Because of course you're going to tell. You tell my secrets all the time.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, okay. Snitches get what?
As long as I'm actually listening, right?
Shane, snitches get what? Snitches get what?
Stitches, Marshall.
Yeah, so like.
I would never hit speed.
The fact that, wow. He said that, I don't know if I believe him.
But he couldn't reach me. I'm fast.
That's fair. But he might just grab your hand as you
No,
out,
you didn't have to tell Jameson that.
I shouldn't have said
yeah,
I'm not going to tell.
You knew you were going to tell the story anyway.
I knew I was going to be tempted to tell the story, yeah. And then I told him I wasn't going to tell the story. Now here I am telling the story.
But here's my question.
What?
Why did you feel the need to tell him that?
To tell him that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was looking for something to say that I thought would be good.
How about, man, I'm glad your phone's okay.
Yeah, well, I should have done that.
Sometimes you have to reach into your normal human bag. I'm just like.
Dude, that's like, so true.
That's not a bag he has.
No, seriously, think about it like this. We all have like things that happen that we witness, man. Whatever, and you're like, what do I say? What do I do? It's like, how about just being a normal human? If you just, usually if you go default normal human, you'll say something normal.
Hey, Marshall, what's the worst thing you've seen a professional athlete do that you want to say right now?
I wouldn't say it. Let me just put it like, you gotta remember, guys, I was a sideline reporter for the Penguins and the Pirates, mainly the Pirates, and I seen things.
You did.
On the road, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But because you're traveling.
None of these players are playing now anymore.
So you travel with the team?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, what did Francisco Cervelli do out here in the streets?
Wow, that's a great reference. Yeah. That's a great drop.
Yeah, tell me about Gregory Polanco's after-hours predilections.
Dude, what did Rob Mikoviak do at lunch that one time?
Another great, I was like the, when Jason Bay was an all-star. Okay. Freddie Sanchez batting champion, Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, my God.
So that, just to give you the era, it was 2006 to 2008.
Freddie Sanchez.
Yeah, so like that was like my life.
Artani, was Rob Mikoviak a White Sox at that time?
06 was his first year with the Sox, yeah.
Yeah, so
So you had the pitchers. You had Chris Benson? Zach Duke?
Yes.
Okay.
Zach Duke was like a thing.
Yeah.
Until he wasn't.
He was supposed to be a thing.
And then he became a reliever. Oliver Perez was like going to be this guy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A reliever.
They always start out as, is going to be a guy.
Yeah.
Zach Duke was a guy.
Yeah.
I saw him dominate the Cubs one day at Wrigley Field.
I'm sure you did because he had good stuff.
Yeah, he did.
He was a guy at 2024. You could be anything now.
Yeah. You know what?
Come on.
Peter. I'll let that comment stand on its own.
Yeah, Peter, stay off the third rail, man. Yeah. My God. It's dangerous. Hell, yeah.
So,
Peter, I got distracted editing your Wikipedia page.
See that? He's learning.
Call back Peter in the house.
There we go. There we go. That's how we do it.
So,
no, but seriously, how's that going?
But not seriously. I'm trying to think outside of the Pirates, what have I seen like that was like, wow. Athletes are people just like us and do stupid stuff.
I know. Sometimes they drop their phone from upstairs.
Well, that too, but like.
But really stupid stuff?
Yeah, like. Dealt with like. Jonathan Papelbon and his when he was with the Phillies, like, and that's a Mississippi State guy. So I'm
you
like,
you just had Papelbon on the show two days ago.
I know. How was he? Because I didn't get to. I wanted to.
He
listen.
Was good, but you should have given us some stuff if you know Papelbon.
He's just wild, man. But I see a lot of, like Ocho Cinco. Like I covered the Bengals when he was doing all the touchdown celebrations and stuff. And like,
wow,
we went to McDonald's together because that's like his thing. Did a feature story where we just go to McDonald's and. I've been blessed to see a lot of different things.
We need tales from the Marshall Harris sports bag.
How
man.
Bad of a tipper was Evgeny Malkin? You know, we want to know.
So, Evgeny Malkin, when he was literally smuggled into the U.S., because, you know, they couldn't get him out of the Russian Super League, all that stuff, to become a member of the Penguins, they're like, well, will he ever come over? I met him at the airport. When he came over and did a whole thing on Evgeny Malkin is finally here and
so
nobody knew about it.
Did you drive him
and
home?
I just interviewed him and like with a Russian translator and like that was like cool because it's like Gino, we've been waiting for Gino this whole time and he's here now. And obviously the Penguins are pretty successful after he got there.
Yeah, they know what they were doing.
Yeah, so you know, I've been blessed. All you guys are doing right now is reminding me I've been blessed to cover a lot of different things and a lot of cool people and this is a great career if you can adjust with the times.
Yeah,
it's a great career.
All right, so you think my bad form was telling James Tyon I wasn't going to say.
I don't think
anything.
Anyone behind that glass case of emotion, inside that glass case of emotion, would disagree with what I just said.
The Boyquarium is what Steve Dahl
called it. Is that what we call it? Okay,
isn't that good?
In the Boyquarium, I'll call it a manquarium because I respect you guys.
Oh,
as,
look at
as
that!
Men.
Thank you, Marshall. That,
wow, man. Finally someone in that room does.
Someone does.
So the manquarium,
it won't last.
Everybody agrees with me, right?
Unless Marshall does.
The only mistake Matt Spiegel made was telling him, "I'm not going to tell anyone."
Yes,
me, a radio guy who's got 4 hours a day to just say whatever I want.
It's so true, and a limited amount of thoughts.
Yeah, like
I mean, there's segments. I gave Peter Hansen a segment. I mean, that's where we are.
And he's got it planned already, Speak.
Does he really?
He does.
Oh, I'm excited.
I love this.
Is it about his deep voice? Something?
No, it's not.
Okay.
That wouldn't be very good. Wouldn't be able to go many places from there.
No, it really wouldn't. No,
I think it'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Peter, yes.
He's all killing it today,
Peter's
folks.
Got a little game, folks. That's tremendous.
You got to be careful, though, because sooner or later, you keep killing it like this, Shane's going to get mad at you for doing a good job.
Oh, yeah, that's so true.
So hold back a little bit.
Yeah, Peter. Well, it's like, ooh, it's the advice that I got long ago before I started work with a certain partner. The advice that I got was, be funny, but not too funny.
Mm.
Be smart, but not too smart.
We're going to give Peter a segment every day, any day that Danny's not here, because, like, Danny has too many thoughts. So, like, it won't fit when Danny's back.
What he's saying about my thoughts. What he's saying there.
No, no, no. I'm not saying anything about your thoughts.
Yeah, your thoughts are like porridge. Just right.
Don't internalize.
All right, I'll
there's
externalize.
There's just more room when Danny doesn't have a lot of thoughts.
I think it'd be good though for Danny to give Peter a segment. I think that'd be a very good, healthy learning experience.
Do you foresee that happening?
No, I do not.
For Danny or for Peter?
Healthy learning experience. No, we do not. As a matter of fact, no, all the way around. Yeah. I did see one of the guys who was handling the 1984 team that was all there and very much having a good time. Ryan Sandberg's former teammates, and he was bemoaning what life can be when you're trying to do like the VIP thing and it's a huge group, like,
oh, because there's too much
there's so much,
too many people.
Yeah, like, yeah. Three people are like, I'd like to go here. It's like, okay. And then four other people are like, I'd like to go there. It's like, can you all be together? Can you choose amongst yourselves where you want to go?
Nope.
But you're a team. You guys should be able to talk about
this. We haven't been teammates in a long time.
Yeah, I know, but they were, man. There were good teammate vibes going on yesterday. I haven't heard this. I want to hear this. Bob Costas went on with Pat and Ron in the middle of the game up there on press row. And this is Bob Costas with our guys, Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, on the Sandberg game, which I don't know if anybody heard, was 40 years ago yesterday. And this includes Ron Coomer talking about watching that game on TV as well.
I recall almost everything about that game because it's just etched in memory because it was such an unforgettable game. It's perhaps the best regular season game, all things considered, I've ever seen. And it's certainly the best regular season game I've ever broadcast.
Wow.
I was going to say, at the end of the segment we did on Baseball Voices with you, you said something like, I can't remember when I've ever seen a better one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying you have not.
Of course, I was 32 then, so my catalog of memories was smaller. But it shows you how great that game was, because my assessment hasn't changed four decades later.
Yeah, you were pretty right on. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I had a crystal ball.
Yeah. All I remember is that game is jumping up and down in my grandparents' basement, watching by myself, going, where's my dad? He needs to see this right now. And I was a South Side of Chicago kid as a Cub fan.
Francisco Alvarez waits for the 2-1 pitch from Keegan Thompson. Takes inside for a ball. But
wasn't that kind of perilous to be a Cub fan on the South Side?
I got tough in a hurry. Yeah. Bob. I wasn't real popular even with my own family. It's the deal.
Sorry to hear that, Ron.
It explains a lot, though, doesn't it, Pat, after all these years?
3-2 now on.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I'd never heard Coom talk about that, and I haven't heard Coom talk very much about being a young Cub fan growing up on the South Side, not popular in his own family.
That would be tough, especially back then. Like, yeah, that seems like it would draw a lot of ire, at the least. What's interesting is because I was alive during that game, but I had to go back and like think about it, look at it. And I was like, I remember people talking about the game, seeing like highlights and stuff, but like Willie McGee hit for the cycle in that game. And he was the player of the game by television, you know, the graphic player of the game.
They announced him as player of the game because they were going to break away. They had to break
away. The hiding rules were in effect.
100%. There was a boxing match. They were holding the opening bell of the boxing match until the ball game was over. So they were getting everything out of the way during what they thought were the final innings of the Cub game, the MLB game of the week. And so Costas names Willie McGee the player of the game, and the very next pitch is Sandberg's second home run.
Wild.
Yeah.
And baseball used to be a national thing before it became very regionalized, you know, following your team and whoever your team just happens to be playing that night.
Mm-hmm.
But like back when there weren't all the channels and everything, like it was the showcase was a showcase.
Yeah, it was, man.
And it's not anymore. And it's just sad for me.
I'm with you. I remember watching Jack Morris's no hitter on a Saturday afternoon. That was another game of the week, you know, and you'd. Yeah, you'd have to do it, but like it's just a lot of things about the game have changed. I do a segment on Sunday mornings on Hit and Run where I just kind of go through the leaderboard. I pick a couple of spots and go through the leaderboard because back in the day, Sunday mornings,
paper comes out,
the newspaper comes out, And there's every player in the game who's qualified for the batting title, the possibilities. And there's their average and their home runs and their RBIs, every single player.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. And you're like, all right, let me see where my guys actually measure up. Once a week was your opportunity just to see Triple Crown stats. Maybe they'd throw walks at you if they did the expanded ones.
They did, like, in mine, it was like runs, RBI, the leaders in that. And then also, like you said, the totals. It took up like over a page.
Yeah,
like
but a lot of columns,
yeah,
though.
Like,
right?
A lot of columns, yeah.
And it was like usually on top of the Peter Gammons Sunday Baseball Notes column. That's the dude who invented that column. And
that's
that
why they
concept.
Gave him Diamond Notes, and everybody, it became nationally popularized through ESPN's.
Yes.
Diamond Notes.
Yeah. So it's absolutely, it was a very, and you go back before that, like my dad would tell me about, oh yeah, when the Sporting News came out once a week, then I could look at some box scores from out of town games.
Yeah.
Like once a week.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Here's my Sporting News. It's quite a different
universe.
It's crazy
that we knew as
back
much
in my day, a gas was a quarter. Bread was a nickel. Dogs didn't vote. We let them around on leashes.
Things have changed. It's 2024.
Yeah,
and you know what? We're just trying to keep up.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Speaks and Marshall Harris with you on 670 The Score. Keep it right here. I'm looking forward to Peter's segment at 440.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Everybody, we are live.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
We're having a little fun.
Cubs fans are not happy.
No, they really are not. It's tough right now. And there's a lot of, what did you think was going to be different going on? Because the cast of characters is similar. Other than Michael Bush, who's actually been pretty good. But other than that, there was a lot of belief in some improvement and a lot of belief in the manager making a difference. And it just has not manifested to this point. It's Spiegs and Marshall Harris right now on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Today, Danny will be back tomorrow. He is golfing at Kevin Butler's celebrity golf tournament. Or is it charity golf tournament? I believe that's what it is. I'm going to be playing poker at Jeff Yeager's charity golf tournament coming up. Or poker tournament, whatever it is. I'm going to play poker there,
but
even
not
if
golf.
Other people are playing golf. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just deciding what to do. Are you playing along with us yet? Do you have a Bears specialist and a charity event of any kind and an off-brand sport?
I should work on that.
Yeah, you still have time.
I'll workshop that.
Yeah, you still got time.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Taylor in Salt Lake City who's on 670 The Score. What's up, Taylor? Good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, boys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you alluded to it, Spiegs. Like, you know, what did you think was going to happen when you bring back a lot of the same characters? Last year, you were not good enough. And you had guys like Nico and Bellinger and Steele have massive years. Like, Bellinger and Steele were MVP and Cy Young candidates most of the year, and you still didn't make the playoffs. And it was unrealistic to think that they were going to go and, you know, replicate that again. You didn't solve first. You didn't solve third. And to me, the whole thing for a few years now is starting to feel like that Jerry Reinsdorf quote. Right? Just stay competitive through the summer. You don't have to win the division. Finish in second place, keep people coming to the ballpark, sell beers, hot dogs, tickets. And I think that they're comfortable with that. Oof. That's what it's starting to feel like to me. Like, this team would feel a little bit better with somebody like Darvish and Schwarber, right? Rather than the bag of baseballs that you traded them for.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it feels to me, man.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, Darvish was taking $58 million off of the books and trading for a pile of kids from San Diego, one of whom is Owen Casey and is a very highly rated prospect and may be able to help them as soon as this year. In fact, I've been calling for him to come up. Schwarber is just a full-on miss, man. Schwarber is a non-tender who they just decided not to keep. That's all they did. And then the Nationals picked him up, traded him to Boston, and then Philly signs him, and he's a home run machine, especially in June.
A home run machine. Do the Cubs need home runs?
Yeah, man. It's grim. There's a bunch of decisions that look bad in terms of talent and allocation. And a lot of teams have that, that's for sure. The irony is, what he's talking about, they did decide to try and fix first with Michael Bush. And Michael Bush is,
right now,
he's their best offensive player.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. He shouldn't be, but he is. It's like him and a little Seiya and a little Bellinger, but none of them are stars. They chose to do it that way with a trade for a pretty good prospect in Jackson Ferris. And Michael Bush has not been the problem. Offensively, Christopher Morel he's got 15 homers. And I know that it's been bad for Morel for a while there, but it's actually started to pick up a little bit for Morel. I think he's hitting .306 over the last seven games, and there's been more pop on the home runs, and even during the downtime, it hasn't been a lot of strikeouts. It's still been some walks and things like that. There's still reasons to feel okay about Morel. Well, defensively, it's been a disaster for him at third.
That's not unexpected. Like, how he's played at third base, I don't think anybody's like, I couldn't see that happening at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when people look at it, they're like, he's hitting .203, and then you're like, well, but if you look at what he's actually done at the plate, like, he just has had some bad luck. But if we go 162 and he's still hitting .203, he's hitting .203.
So there's a lot of people hitting .203 out there.
Well,
it's a rough time for baseball.
So you know who leads the Cubs in batting average, obviously?
Leads the Cubs in batting average. Is it Bellinger?
Yeah, and he's hitting .270. That's the top of the... And Morel's the only guy with double-digit home runs. You look at some other teams, that are good, and see how many guys they have with 10 or more home runs right now?
Yeah.
It's more than one.
It's more than one.
And they've got guys with, 20 home runs and more.
Yeah. So Shohei's here tonight. He's got, 23?
And he's been crushing them.
Aaron Judge is 28, I think, leading MLB. 28 home runs at this point.
Aaron Judge is that dude.
Yeah.
He had a bad start, too. And, when your manager says, well, I think Aaron Judge will be fine, and then he immediately just starts pounding balls wherever. Right. Center, left center.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, the crazy thing about the Cubs from last year is that the offense was sixth in MLB in runs scored. It's not like
they didn't have a whole bunch of power.
No, they didn't have a big pile of power, and they definitely needed more power. They were 15th in home runs in all of MLB last year, but sixth in runs scored because they found ways to do it. They were eighth in on-base plus slugging. So they got on base a ton last year. They were sixth in on-base percentage out of 30 teams in MLB. There was a lot of things that we looked at from last year. It was like, well, the underlying stuff says they should have been better. So that's what they believed, and they got sucked into that idea and thought that better decision-making and some help on the fringes was going to be enough to just run it back. And it has not been enough to date. They're still just like waiting around for a hot streak that is not coming.
How many, because I look at like when the voting comes out on Tuesdays, right? The updated All-Star voting.
Yeah.
So like how many are the Cubs going to have more All-Stars than the White Sox? Looking at how the pitching has gone now over the last,
Well, Shota will be an All-Star.
Okay.
Even though that one game Friday jumped his ERA by a run, right? He's in the 2.9s.
That's happened to him twice now. Whereas the ERA, and part of it is your ERA is so low that when you give up runs,
And the sample is small early on.
Yeah, but like, how many more All-Stars will the Cubs have than the White Sox? Yeah.
Well, the White Sox are going to have
one. They're going to have one. They're going to have one. They're the worst team in baseball. They're going to have one All-Star.
Is Paul DeYoung going to make this All-Star team?
What are you talking about right now? With a straight face.
I've heard there's real momentum behind Martin Maldonado. That's
the broadcaster. Well, that's because the fans love him. It's because the fans love him. And they want it to happen. And they recognize what the leadership is that he brings.
So my point being is that while the Cubs...
Oh, is that not what it is? That's my mistake.
My point being is... While the Cubs are a superior team to the White Sox, that is not a great measuring stick when we're talking about baseball teams in Major League Baseball.
No, clearly it's not.
And so based on that, I'm just very disappointed that the Cubs won't be better represented in the Midsummer Classic.
The texters are looking out for you, and they're trying to help you out. Here's one from Dodger Boy. Marshall Harris will be playing at Pat Mattingly's upcoming Yahtzee tournament.
I have one. I have one.
You do?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing paper football at the paper football tournament hosted by Cody Parkey.
That's pretty good. Is there a paper football tournament?
I don't know.
I used to have skills.
So
you got skills?
It'll be. I guess he'd probably have like a bowling event or something. But it will be. There'll also be a paper football.
No,
tournament.
stick with paper football. You had me with paper a triangle. Football. You're talking about where you make a piece of paper.
Because you know, Cody Parkey, double doink. You know,
I'm doing one in October, guys.
What are you doing?
Me and LA Mike Richardson are just going to go murder a bunch of people.
Wow.
For charity.
That's what we call escalation and very at a rapid pace. Quickly, yeah. I believe, is the word some people would use.
L.A. Mike, big murderer.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's
so
tough.
Me and Mike could go out there and just start killing.
How's that work for charity? Do you, like, murder rich people and
we're
take their
open.
Money?
Like, we're looking for a partner.
Someone, yeah.
Maybe we can tie that into the radiothon. I don't know.
Maybe we can. We're the Peter Pans of Chicago media. That's what they say about me and L.A. Mike.
Is that a thing that's been said?
What? Yeah, definitely.
You've been called a Peter Pan? I did not know that.
Yeah, he's going with that. Texter says that you could go to Paul Edinger's pig roast. You can go to that.
Okay.
Got them French fried potatoes. Paul Edinger sounded a lot like Sling Blade. He did. We got Paul Edinger's voice on file? No, probably not. Yeah, trust me, though. He sounded a lot like Billy Bob and Sling Blade.
I can't remember that, but I'm going to take your word for it.
Yeah, just take my word for it.
Okay.
100%. All right, we've reached a very exciting moment in the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
You're excited about this.
I am. It's time for intern Peter Hansen to earn his keep. And he's got a segment coming up. I have no idea what it's about.
This is like a blind segment.
It's a blind segment. Get ready for the radio sensibilities of the intern coming your way on a very exciting moment here on 670 The Score.
Excited.
Good.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The brand has taken on a large amount of challenges.
Afternoons on The Score.
Here we go, Jim. This is going to be a big one.
Here we go, Tony. We are ready, folks.
Every once in a while, there's a big debut that gets people excited. And sometimes you have to play the big 20th Century Fox theme on recorder to really hammer home just what a big moment it actually is. A lot of years for The Score. Been around for a long time. Peter Hansen is our intern. Peter, do you know when The Score started?
A long time ago.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Yeah, that's my guess.
That's good.
Just over 30 years, am I right?
No.
What is going on? How hasn't Mitch gotten a hold of this kid and say, given him the Score quiz yet?
I know, seriously. I mean, when I was an intern at Major League Baseball Productions in 1988, they had me fill out a quiz to see if I was qualified. I had to name as many baseball managers as I could. At the time, as an intern, you should have had to name the opening day on-air roster for the Score Sports Radio 820 back in the day, but they didn't do that. Anyway, 1992.
We'll give him credit just over 30 years. That's fair.
All right, it's fair. Yeah, I think you probably heard Shane screaming from the back of the room, but that's okay. All right, but anyway, big moment here. Peter Hansen's going to program this segment. Peter, what should we, Matt Spiegel and Marshall Harris, talk about?
Yeah, so I was kind of bugged by something I saw on Twitter over the weekend.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how Twitter works.
You probably saw it as well.
I might have.
This crazy person on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he was complaining about getting scolded by an old woman on the L for bringing his dog on the train.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you know, he was complaining, oh, there's people 25 feet away doing some sort of illegal drugs and bucket boys on the car. And out of all things to complain about, the lady's complaining about the dog.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think that that owner should probably not bring their dog on the train.
That dog owner. So you're with the lady. You're with the lady who was annoyed at the owner, who's, I believe his name rhymes with Shane Reardon, if memory serves.
I think that is the name. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so Peter, it does rhyme with that then, you know?
Yeah.
All right, follow along.
I'm following.
Okay, good. But so, yeah, you're with the lady. You think it was wrong of Shane to bring, but Willie's an incredibly well-behaved dog.
Yeah, but, I mean, Willie could have snapped out of nowhere, right, Shane?
I mean, she could have.
I guess she could have. She hasn't, but I guess she could have. Mm. So here's the thing. I'm anti-crack. I'm just going to put it out there.
Okay.
I don't like the don't
That's
like
a strong stance by you, Shane.
That was my biggest thing. I know that bringing a dog on the blue line is against the rules. I know I was breaking a rule.
Let's full stop right there. Let's full stop right there. Instead of comparing it to crack.
I'm not comparing it to crack. I'm saying there was a worse thing happening. And also, sometimes you don't want to spend $45 on an Uber pet to come downtown in the middle of a Saturday.
They were smoking crack on your train?
There was a guy doing crack out of tinfoil. Yeah, in like that little alcove in the blue.
Wow.
It's the second time I've seen it. Wow. In like the last 10 years.
Yeah, I'm reading from the Transit Chicago website. Small pets are allowed as long as they remain in a closed protective carrier that can fit under a seat. Otherwise, only service animals are allowed.
How big is your dog, James?
40 pounds. She's slight.
Okay.
She's not a big
this.
40 pounds. She's tiny.
Okay, so did you have your dog in a protective carrier? That's my next question.
No, I didn't. But Marshall, like I preface saying, I know what I did was against the rules.
Right.
But there were much worse things happening to be angry
And you're
about.
Mad because Karen was on you. And
I'm mad at that one woman.
She wasn't like, Karening the other people.
Exactly. I'm completely open about it being wrong. I should not bring my dog on the blue line.
Uh-huh.
But if you're going to complain about anything, complain about the crack.
Well, maybe she is a crack enthusiast.
Yeah. Did you think about that?
It was.
Yeah. And I don't mean that she smokes crack.
Right.
She's just a big fan.
Right.
She's like, she's behind people that do. But no, seriously, what somebody else is doing with or without crack does not have anything to do with what you are doing against the rules with your dog.
Sure it does.
I don't agree.
Like, if you're, let's look at it this way. Like, you eliminate your worst test score, right? Some professors do that. If we're eliminating the worst thing that was happening on that train car, crack cocaine was worse than Willie sitting at my feet.
This is the example of the decay of modern society.
Okay.
Acceptance of the dog on the train because it isn't crack.
I had a whole conversation with a dog owner just a few days ago about like people caring more about dogs than people. And I was like, I do get it because there are awful people and the dogs, as long as they're trained well, are going to be much more loyal, subservient, do what you want than a person would. Right.
Right.
But I'm split on this, like where I stand on this.
Dude, like I get it. I know what I did was wrong. And also let me put it out there. I don't care about my dogs more than people. I don't. People are our priority. She's just a dog, but I didn't want to spend $45 on an Uber to take her to my girlfriend's house.
I understand that.
This is about inflation.
And I empathize with that. You think it's about that?
This is about inflation.
Yeah, it's
and
about.
And also, real quick, comedy rule of threes, you always put three things in there. The Bucket Boys were not on the train. I put that in the tweet. I said there was someone doing crack, a woman on speakerphone, and the damn Bucket Boys.
Oh, right.
The Bucket Boys were not there.
It's good. It was visceral.
No, but if the Bucket Boys were going and those other two things were also happening, I was like, man, you had quite the train ride.
Yeah, the other two things were happening. The Bucket Boys were not there.
Well, so clearly Shane has been lying about the Bucket Boys. Who's to say that he's not lying about the crack?
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm being honest about the crack.
That's a great point.
That's a great point.
I'm being honest about the crack. It is a very distinct smell, crack.
You ever read the book when you were a kid, Peter? Peter, the Boy Who Cried Bucket Boys. Did you ever read that?
It was actually my favorite. Yeah. It was my favorite.
It was really good.
Your favorite fable?
And nobody believed that the Bucket Boys were actually there because the boy cried about it so much.
Yeah, no, I was venting to Tanny about this before the show. I'm like, damn, like if someone from the CTA can just pull up the cameras from that day at that time and see that, yes, there was someone, in fact, smoking an illegal substance in the little alcove, the front of the car.
So, and that there were no Bucket Boys on the train.
Correct.
So I'm glad
and
you came clean.
And there was a woman talking on speakerphone. And Willie sitting very calmly letting people pet her.
Okay, I actually have a bigger problem with the people talking on speakerphone than I do anything with the dog. Can
Me
we
too.
All agree on that?
Yeah, man.
It's the worst.
That has become so commonplace. I'm like,
yeah.
Either get your headset together, whether it's earbuds or whatever, wired or wireless, I don't care. But I do not want to hear your conversation.
No. Yeah.
And in closed space.
How about this? This morning, me and Christine, we went down by the lake and we're having our coffee by the lake as we are wont to do every once in a while with a little bit of morning. So we're sitting there in some chairs that we pulled out from the car. And then another car comes up with its windows open and just parks right there, just blaring music absolutely blaring music and they're just hanging out. And then it's that thing like, do I go over and I say something about the music?
No, you don't want to get shot.
You don't want to get shot.
Also, it's a public space. So.
Yeah, it's a public, they have a right to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's a public space.
They have a right to do that. It's inconsiderate. It's extremely inconsiderate.
But this goes back to the decay of society. Considerate's not really a thing.
No. Yeah, sometimes I just want to scream, you're not the only person in the world!
Yeah.
You're not!
Yeah, rude people exist. Yeah. I am only rude to my friends. I'm very much nice to people I don't know.
All right, so Peter, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Marshall, but I want Peter to have everything he deserves out of this segment. Your thoughts on the conversation and anything that's been missing from our judgment about the conversation.
Well, I think that most of what Shane's been saying has been hearsay, and I think that my next little internship project might have to be reaching out to the people at the CTA and getting the camera footage.
Yep.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, find the crack.
Have you fixed my Wikipedia page?
We could have just rebranded this segment Two Truths and a Lie.
Here's the thing, guys. Crack is both not allowed on the blue line and illegal. Uh-huh. Dogs are just not allowed on the blue line.
They're not
one thing
inherently
is much
illegal.
Worse than the other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but I didn't really. Again, I don't think that's it's a false equivalency.
Like David Hall just texted me in the middle of the segment because he's always listening. Guy yes. never misses a second. He's yes. always waiting for us to talk about him.
It's good to have him.
There was a dog in studio here last week. A guest brought her dog in the studio. Didn't clear it with anyone.
Mm.
I took the blue line for 12 minutes with Willie sitting at my feet.
My only issue is if someone was allergic to dogs.
I don't care.
On that train.
I don't care.
Well, there it
okay,
is.
Okay, I don't care.
Let's get right to the core.
A problem.
I don't care. Move away from the dog. That's not how dog allergies work, by the way.
What if somebody was deathly afraid of dogs and was riding the CTA knowing full well it was against the rules?
I'd hope they'd tell me and then I would go to a different car.
Hmm.
I think going to a different car. Did you go to a different car when the woman complained?
She complained like when I was getting off.
Oh,
at Clark and Lake.
She wasn't saying anything with her chest. I strike the woman's request. Say something. See something. Say something immediately.
Yeah, and
or
then
just keep your mouth shut.
If she would have said like, "Hey, I'm super allergic," I'd get off the car.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm leaning towards Shane's.
Of course
you
are. I'm a great person.
Yeah.
I get it because, you know, he argues well because he will throw absolutely anything at the conversation.
Real or fake?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Crack
yeah.
is
it doesn't
real.
Matter.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Maybe, hey,
okay.
the thing is,
the Bucket Boys were not
maybe
there.
Maybe she complained, but he couldn't hear over the Bucket Boys.
yeah, no, it's absolutely true. All right, look, we're going to get back to the most disappointing team in town, one of the most disappointing teams in MLB. But first, Peter Hansen, take us out. Take us out here. Send us to break with your expert radio skills.
Continue listening on 670 The Score.
You didn't tease my open.
Yeah, that was bad.
Oh, yeah, Tanny's really open is coming.
It's the most important. It's coming up next.
Tanny's open, yeah. It sure is. Good job, Peter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The brand has taken on a large amount of challenges.
Afternoons on The Score.
Here we go, Jim. This is going to be a big one.
Here we go, Tony. We are ready, folks.
Every once in a while, there's a big debut that gets people excited. And sometimes you have to play the big 20th Century Fox theme on recorder to really hammer home just what a big moment it actually is. A lot of years for The Score, been around for a long time. Peter Hansen is our intern. Peter, do you know when The Score started?
Long time ago.
Oh, that's good. Good
yeah, that's my guess.
That's good.
Just over 30 years, am I right?
No.
What is going on? How hasn't Mitch gotten a hold of this kid and say, given him the score quiz yet?
I know, seriously. I mean, when I was an intern at Major League Baseball Productions in 1988, they had me fill out a quiz to see if I was qualified. I had to name as many baseball managers as I could. At the time, as an intern, you should have had to name the opening day on-air roster for The Score Sports Radio 820 back in the day, but they didn't do that. Anyway, 1992.
We'll give him credit just over 30 years. That's fair.
All right, it's fair. Yeah, I think you probably heard Shane screaming from the back of the room, but that's okay. All right, but anyway, big moment here. Peter Hansen's going to program this segment. Peter, what should we, Matt Spiegel and Marshall Harris, talk about?
Yeah, so I was kind of bugged by something I saw on Twitter over the weekend.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how Twitter works.
You probably saw it as well.
I might have.
This crazy person on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he was complaining about getting scolded by an old woman on the L for bringing his dog on the train.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he, you know, he was complaining, oh, there's people 25 feet away doing some sort of illegal drugs and bucket boys on the car. And out of all things to complain about, the lady's complaining about the dog.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think that that owner should probably not bring their dog on the train.
That dog owner. So you're with the lady. You're with the lady who was annoyed at the owner, who's, I believe his name rhymes with Shane Reardon, if memory serves.
I think that is the name. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so Peter, it does rhyme with that then, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Follow along.
I'm following.
Okay, good. But so, yeah, you're with the lady. You think it was wrong of Shane to bring, but Willie's an incredibly well-behaved dog.
Yeah, but I mean, Willie could have snapped out of nowhere, right, Shane?
She could have.
I guess she could have. She hasn't, but I guess she could have. Mm. So here's the thing. I'm anti-crack. I'm just going to put it out there.
Okay.
I don't like the don't
That's
like
a strong
that people
stance
do
by
it.
You, Shane.
That was my biggest thing. I know that bringing a dog on the blue line is against the rules. I know I was breaking a rule.
Let's full stop right there. Instead of comparing it to crack.
I'm not comparing it to crack. I'm saying there was a worse thing happening. And also, sometimes you don't want to spend $45 on an Uber pet to come downtown in the middle of a Saturday.
They were smoking crack on your train?
There was a guy doing crack out of tinfoil. Yeah, in like that little alcove in the blue.
Wow.
It's the second time I've seen it.
Wow.
In like the last 10 years.
Yeah, I'm reading from the Transit Chicago website. Small pets are allowed as long as they remain in a closed protective carrier that can fit under a seat. Otherwise, only service animals are allowed.
How big is your dog, James?
40 pounds. She's slight.
Okay.
She's not a big 40 pounds. She's tiny.
Okay. So did you have your dog in a protective carrier? That's my next question.
No, I didn't. But Marshall, like I preface saying, I know what I did was against the rules.
Right.
But there were much worse things happening to be angry.
And you're mad because Karen was on you.
I'm mad at that one woman.
She wasn't like Karening the other people.
Exactly. I'm completely open about it being wrong. I should not bring my dog on the blue line.
Uh-huh.
But if you're going to complain about anything, complain about the crack.
Well, maybe she is a crack enthusiast.
Did you think about that?
It was.
Yeah. And it I don't mean that she smokes crack.
Right.
She's just a big fan.
Right.
She's like, She's behind people that do. But no, seriously, what somebody else is doing with or without crack does not have anything to do with what you are doing against the rules with your dog.
Sure it does.
I don't agree.
Like, if you're, let's look at it this way. Like, you eliminate your worst test score, right? Some professors do that. If we're eliminating the worst thing that was happening on that train car, crack cocaine was worse than Willie sitting at my feet.
This is the example of the decay of modern society.
Okay.
Acceptance of the dog on the train because it isn't crack.
I had a whole conversation with a dog owner just a few days ago about like people caring more about dogs than people. And I was like, I do get it because there are awful people and the dogs, as long as they're trained well, are going to be much more loyal, subservient, do what you want than a person would. Right.
Right.
But I'm split on this, like where I stand on this.
Dude, like I get it. I know what I did was wrong. And also let me put it out there. I don't care about my dogs more than people. I don't. People are priority. She's just a dog, but I didn't want to spend $45 on an Uber to take her to my girlfriend's house.
I understand that.
This is about inflation.
And I empathize with that. You think it's about that?
This is about inflation.
Yeah,
real quick, comedy rule of threes, you always put three things in there. The bucket boys were not on the train. I put that in the tweet. I said there was someone doing crack, a woman on speakerphone, and the damn Bucket Boys.
Oh, right, right, right.
The Bucket Boys were not.
It's
there.
Good. It was visceral. It
no, but if the Bucket Boys were going and those other two things were also happening, I was like, man, you had quite the train ride.
Yeah, the other two things were happening. The Bucket Boys were not there.
Well, so clearly Shane has been lying about the Bucket Boys. Who's to say that he's not lying about the crack?
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm being honest about the crack.
That's a great point.
That's a great point.
I'm being
Peter.
Honest about the crack. It is a very Peter, distinct smell. Crack.
You ever read the book when you were a kid, Peter? The Boy Who Cried Bucket Boys. Did you ever read that?
It was actually my favorite. Yeah. It was my favorite.
It was really good.
Your favorite fable.
And nobody believed that the Bucket Boys were actually there because the boy cried about it so much.
Yeah, no. I was venting to Tanny about this before the show. I'm like, damn. Like, someone from the CTA can just pull up the cameras from that day at that time and see that, yes, there was someone, in fact, smoking an illegal substance in the little alcove, the front of the car.
So, and that there were no Bucket Boys on the train.
I'm glad and you came clean. And there's a woman talking on speakerphone. And Willie sitting very calmly letting people pet her.
Okay, I actually have a bigger problem with the people talking on speakerphone than I do anything with the dog. Can
Me
we
too.
All agree on that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, man.
It's the worst.
It's that has become so commonplace. I'm like,
yeah.
Either get your headset together, whether it's earbuds or whatever, wired or wireless, I don't care. But I do not want to hear your conversation.
No. Yeah.
In an enclosed space.
How about this? This morning, me and Christine, we went down by the lake and we're having our coffee by the lake, as we are wont to do every once in a while with a little bit of morning. So we're sitting there in some chairs that we pulled out from the car. And then another car comes up with its windows open and just parks right there, just blaring music. Absolutely blaring music, and they're just hanging out. And then it's that thing like, do I go over and I say something about the music?
No, you don't want to get shot.
You don't want to get shot.
And also, it's a public space. So.
Yeah, it's a public. They have a right to do that.
Yeah, it's a public space.
They have a right to do that. It's inconsiderate. It's extremely inconsiderate.
But this goes back to the decay of society. Considerate's not really a thing.
No. Yeah, sometimes I just want to scream, you're not the only person in the world!
Yeah.
You're not!
Yeah, rude people exist. Yeah. I am only rude to my friends. I'm very much nice to people I don't know.
All right, so Peter, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Marshall, but I want Peter to have everything he deserves out of this segment. Your thoughts on the conversation and anything that's been missing from our judgment about the conversation.
Well, I think that most of what Shane's been saying has been hearsay, and I think that my next little internship project might have to be reaching out to the people at the CTA and getting the camera footage.
Yep.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, find the crack.
Have you fixed my Wikipedia page?
We could have just rebranded this segment Two Truths and a Lie.
Here's the thing, guys. Crack is both not allowed on the blue line and illegal. Uh-huh. Dogs are just not allowed on the blue line.
They're not
one thing
inherently
is much
illegal.
Worse than the other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
it is, but I didn't really. Again, I don't think that's it's a false equivalency.
Like David Hall just texted me in the middle of the segment because he's always listening. Guy yes. never misses a second. He's yes. always waiting for us to talk about him.
It's good to have him.
There was a dog in studio here last week. A guest brought her dog in the studio. Didn't clear it with anyone.
Mm.
I took the blue line for 12 minutes with Willie sitting at my feet.
My only issue is if someone was allergic to dogs.
I don't care.
On that train.
I don't care.
Well, there it
okay,
is.
Okay, well, there you go.
I don't care.
Let's get right to the
That seems to be
core.
A problem.
I don't care. Move away from the dog. That's not how dog allergies work, by the way.
What if somebody was deathly afraid of dogs and was riding the CTA knowing full well it was against the rules?
I'd hope they'd tell me, and then I would get off I would go to a different car.
Hmm.
I think going to a different car. Did you go to a different car when the woman complained?
She complained like when I was getting off.
Oh,
at Clark and Lake.
She wasn't saying anything with her chest. I strike the woman's request. Say something. See something. Say something immediately.
Yeah, and
or
then
just keep your mouth shut.
If she would have said like, "Hey, I'm super allergic," I'd get off the car.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm leaning towards Shane's.
Of course
point
you
of view.
Are. I'm a great person.
Yeah.
I get it because you know he argues well because he will throw absolutely anything at the conversation.
Real or fake?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Crack
yeah.
is
doesn't
real.
Matter.
No, it's not.
Maybe. Hey,
okay.
The thing is,
the Bucket Boys were not.
Maybe
there.
She complained, no. but he couldn't hear over right. the Bucket Boys.
No, it's absolutely true. All right, look, we're going to get back to the most disappointing team in town, one of the most disappointing teams in MLB. But first, Peter Hansen, take us out. Take us out here. Send us to break with your expert radio skills.
Continue listening on 670 The Score.
You didn't tease my open.
Yeah, that was bad.
Oh, yeah, Tanny's really open
Tanny's
is coming.
It's the most important. Tanny's open is coming up next.
Tanny's open, yeah. It sure is. Good job, Peter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.